Good morning.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. Are you excited about the Lord?
Yeah.
You know, we get excited about a lot of things. There'll be a lot of people excited this evening tonight about a ball game. And there's nothing wrong with that. But how much more should you and I be excited about the personal relationship we have with the Lord God Almighty?
Amen.
Think about it. He knows the very thought and the intent of your heart. He knows the word that is in your tongue before you speak it. That's the intimacy that we have with a God in heaven that loves us that much. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's precious. That's something that you and I are going every day. We're in a process of learning how to appreciate that more and more. Amen? If you would, open up your Bibles to Psalms 25. Psalms 25. And I want you to keep this phrase in the forefront of your mind, if you would. Intimacy with reverence brings revelation. Intimacy with reverence brings revelation. Now, you and I, we're a group of people that we've got to always be in a place and a position of progressive revelation. We cannot live on yesterday's manna. We cannot depend upon what we used to know or what we used to do, because what worked yesterday won't work today. Amen? We've got to have a fresh word from the Lord every day. We've got to have the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and direct us. And so if we're going to be in that place where we have progressive revelation, then we've got to be in a place where we understand how to get there. And we got a verse here in Psalms 25 that tells us exactly that. And so it's up to you and I to be in this place, in this position, to have a hungry, humble heart. And if we'll have that, we're going to be in the place where we're going to move forward leaps and bounds. But it'll be individual according to what you can do and what I can do. God will never drag us. He'll help us. Amen. If you would, Psalms 25, verse number 14, one verse. Psalms 25, verse 14. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now, notice what he says here, what the psalmist says. The secret of the Lord. Now, that's intimacy. Amen. The secret of the Lord is with them. Say, that's me.
That's me.
That fear Him. That's reverence. And He, God, the Lord, will show. That's revelation. He will show them His covenant. Pray with me. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we're in a place and position this morning where we can be intimate with You. We can be in a place where we can be in awe of who You are and what You are to us, to the church, and to the world. And as we're in a place and a position, revelation comes. Lord, we choose today to say that we humble our heart and we sit at Your feet. And as we sit at Your feet, and as we're intimate with You, and as we revere You, as we honor You and all of You, we ask that Your Holy Spirit come upon us and teach us great and mighty things. Show us things, rehearse them before our spiritual eyes, things that we do not know, and help us come to an understanding of every covenant promise that is ours in Christ Jesus, and those things that we might be missing out on, those things that the devil might be stealing, killing, and destroying out of our lives. Let us come to a place and a position where we receive them by faith. And like Brother Dennis talked this morning, it brings God glory and praise. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we all say,
amen,
amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Now, talking about revelation, before we get into what the main gist of what I want to talk about, it has to be progressive. And it has to, You've got to realize, I've got to realize, our revelation is either going to be positive or negative. There's only two choices. In other words, of God or of the world, which is of the devil. And so you and I want to be in a place and a position where we recognize that, because if we stay in a frame or in a mindset of doing the same thing over and over, then we're in a place and a position where we're not keeping up with God. Because God is a God that is always, if you look in His Word, He's bringing His people up closer to Him. Because we have revelation. His thoughts are higher. His ways are greater than ours. And so we've got to be in a place where we're being progressively changed by our relationship, by the Word of God, or if not, then we're going to be out of step with Him. And you and I this morning, we chose to be in step with the Lord, and I believe with all my heart that's exactly what's going to happen. But I want to, before we get into this, go with me to the book of Romans. This, I want to read it two or three verses of Scripture to help us to understand about this progressive revelation. We're either going to go forward or we're going to go back. Look at Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 16. Romans 1 and 16. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So here we see progression. The gospel is going to go forth. The Word of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ is going to go forth. And it's going to, as it goes forth, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It will change your life if you'll receive it, if I receive it. We'll progress. Amen? We'll move forward. We'll go up. But look what he says there. He says, verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith." Progression. "As it is written, the just shall live by faith." But look what he says in verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So just like in the positive, if you and I hear the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we allow it to bring faith, we move forward. If we have time and we don't, but you know this Romans chapter 1 very well. If not, you meditated on your home study time. You see how mankind progressively grew more like the world because they didn't worship God as God. And as they did that, God gave them over. The Word of God tells us that. And they progressively became more like the world rather than like God. So, how important is revelation, progressive revelation? It's everything. It's life. Amen? And so when we get back to our text here then, let's reread it. It said, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." Now let's think about that. Now I'm wanting progressive revelation. This morning you're wanting, you're desiring, you have to have progressive revelation. So He tells me, He says, "The secret..." So the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 29:29 that the secret thing belongs to God. So God's the one who can give it out, amen? Because you can't give something that you don't have, but our God's got it. And so He wants to give the secret thing to you. He wants to give it to me. Now this word secret here, it's sowed in the Hebrew, and it means intimacy. It means talking secrets. Talking secrets. See, there's some things that you'll tell some people that you won't just tell anybody. There's some things that you'll talk to your spouse about or your best friend about that you won't talk to other people about. Amen? But God, out of the mouth of Jesus, He said in John 15, He said, "You are my friends. You're no longer a servant. You're my friend." And so God wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you some secrets. And so what we want to do, we want to get in a place and a position where we can understand that God doesn't want you, He doesn't want me to be in the dark about anything. He wants us to be in a place where we're wanting to and desiring to grow. See, a lot of questions that you have in your mind today, a lot of questions that I have, God wants to give us the answers, but you see, He's got to give us something else on this foundation level before He can move us up into what we're questioning. See, there's a qualifying. You and I, we've got to be in a place, a position, before we can know the deeper things of God, we've got to know the things that where we're at, the things that we're able to handle, the things that we're able to put into practice. See, God will never give you more than you can handle, because then you're required to act on what He reveals to you. And so by His Spirit, He wants to help you and I progressively grow. So this secret, this intimate talking, it happens every day. And it's not just a daily thing. It's not just that moment that we have in our prayer closet. We've got to come to a place to understand where it's every second of our day that you have the Holy Spirit in your spirit. And it doesn't matter what you're doing, where you're going, God can talk to you. He can change your attitude, change your understanding. He can give you a warning. He can give you guidance. He can give you hope. All of these things, and every moment of every breath, of every heartbeat that you take, amen? Because we're serving a living God. We're not serving a statue, something on a mantle, something on a shelf. We're serving a God that is alive and well in our heart, amen? And so let's think about this. He said, "The secret of the Lord is with them. He's talking to the believer. He's talking to the Christian. So, first of all, I've got to believe that. I've got to believe that God's talking to me and He wants to talk to me more. He wants to give me things in my life. Now, let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. And let's hear the New Testament example of what we're reading about here out of the mouth of our Lord and Savior, right out of His words. Matthew chapter 11, look at this, verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. And at that time, Jesus answered and He said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things, all the preceding things that happened in these two chapters, these things from the wise and the prudent, but You have what? Have revealed them unto babes. In other words, that's that progressive revelation. See, God said when you're humble, He'll what? He said, I'll exalt you. He said, I'll give more grace to the humble. And so, you and I, we know that a child, they're humble because they depend upon those who are around them, those that they trust, that they believe in. We've got to depend upon our Father. We can trust Him. We can trust Jesus. We can trust the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, the Trinity. We can trust them. And so we want to be in a place of position where we say, hey, I'm a babe in Christ, and Jesus Himself is wanting to allow the Holy Spirit to lift Him up before my eyes. See, the Holy Spirit, that's all He ever lifts up, is Jesus. Jesus is the Word, amen? And the Holy Spirit will rehearse before your eyes, my eyes. John chapter 14 tells us that, all the things of Jesus. And that's what He's saying here. Now look what He says. He said in verse 27, all things are delivered unto Me of My Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save or except the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will what? Reveal Him. Revelation. See, and Jesus said that Me and My Father were one. And so Jesus, He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. And so we want to be in a place, in a position where we understand that secret things, the things about God and about the covenant of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what it means to you to have life, abundant life every day, is being stolen from us by the enemy until we get in a place, in a position where we're doing these things. Look, here's how we get it. Verse 28. He said, come unto Me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And He said, I will give you rest. Now, I want you to remember that word rest. We'll talk about it later. He said, I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. You see, everybody in here wants to know the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
But here's the thing. We've got to learn to do what God says. Do the work first. And then He said, you take My yoke and then you're going to learn. But see, what we hear God tell us to do something and we go, well, God, how long is this going to take? What's this going to entail? Who all is this going to involve? Come on. Revelation comes. Jesus said, you come to Me. You do what I tell you to do and you're going to learn. You're going to learn as we walk together, as we're yoked together. Intimacy. Just think, Jesus is, He's yoked by your side. Come on, you're yoked with Him. And as you're pulling together, as you're doing the work together, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's not the worker, He's the helper. You do the work, the Holy Spirit helps us. Amen? But as you do that, the Holy Spirit shows you Jesus, who is just like the Father. There's a revelation there. The secret of the Lord belongs to you. It belongs to Me. Intimate talking. Talking while you're working together. While you're walking together. And as you're working and walking together, rest comes into your life. I don't care who you talk to today. People, they're weary in their minds. They'll tell you. They'll say, I'm worried to death about this. Or I have fear about this. Or I don't know what I'm going to do about that. Right here, this is the answer. This is it. You don't know. I don't know. But Jesus does. And if we'll get with Jesus, if we'll yoke up with Him, He'll make everything all right. He'll talk to us while we're doing the work. And He'll make that thing that seems so big, so out of proportion, He'll bring it in and put it under His feet. And you'll be strong and you'll be in a place of having a joyful testimony, amen, to be able to do the will and the plan of God. Now, I want you to go with me to the Old Testament. Let's look at a verse of Scripture in the 1 Samuel talking about the Word of God and about revelation, how important it is. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now you know the story very well. In this first chapter of Samuel chapter 3, we find out that the Word of God is very precious. Very precious. But look what it says in verse 7, for sake of time. 1 Samuel 3 and 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Mark it down in your mind's eye. Neither was the Word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Now, this word revealed, it's the same word. It's yada. It means to know by seeing, where it says God will show you His covenant. Okay? Now, it says that the Word of the Lord is what causes you to know Jesus. Why? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 and 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. It's Jesus. Amen? So, if you're going to ever know, if I'm going to ever know the secret thing of God, I've got to understand how important it is to get in the Word of God. The most important thing you and I can do is to get into the Word of God. But the way we do it is, it's not how much you read. It's not what you try to memorize. Getting into the Word of God, as we're going to find out in a minute, is what God tells you, His revealed Word, that you act upon. See, when I first got saved, I didn't understand that. I thought if I just read all this Word and memorized it, it'd change me. But you see, it was all hung up here and it wasn't in here. So you've got to get the Word from here to here. And when you get it here in your spirit, all of a sudden you start doing what the Word says. As long as I had the Word in my head, I knew what to do, but my body wouldn't do it. See, my body would rule me. Anybody out there ever been ruled by your body? Well, we're talking about a way to be able to put the body down and to be able to be ruled by the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Almighty God, the One who died to give you life abundantly. Amen? And here's how we're going to do it. Drop down to verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. To who? He's appearing again to Samuel. Now, he come and he talked to Samuel that time. He called him Samuel, Samuel. And he got on a first name basis. So this morning, I want you to know that if you're saved, born again, filled with the Spirit of God in your spirit, born by the Spirit, then you're on a first name basis with Jesus. Amen? And God will talk to you in a way that you know He's talking to you. Samuel, after he got to meet the Lord, he knew when God talked to him. And that's the way it's going to be for you and I. Amen? But all of a sudden here, he's in Shiloh, and it says he appeared to him again. Now, Shiloh means rest. Jesus said, all of you that are heavy, you labor and heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. The rest come by the Word. It didn't mean the work stopped. Come on, we're not going to lay our burdens down until we take our last breath. We put off this body. Come on, and we put on the incorruptible body. We step on the other side. See, a lot of people, they want God to take away what they've got to do. No, you've got something to do this morning. I've got something to do. And my flesh don't like to do it. But it doesn't matter what my flesh wants. What matters is what God wants. Lord God Almighty. You're the Lord of this church. You bought and paid for it with the blood of your Son, Jesus. What does Jesus want? What does He want? He's got to be the deciding factor. He's got to be the one that makes all the decisions. He's got to be the one that leads us, guides us, and directs us, because He can bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. He can help us and encourage us and change situations. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed, look at this, Himself to Samuel in Shiloh. How did He do it? By the Word of the Lord. By the Word. By Jesus. Jesus is that Word. See, it's not about going to church. Thank God for church. And yes, we're supposed to go to church. But it's about doing what God tells you to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, let every hindering spirit be bound in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to hear by the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name. The word of the Lord was revealed to Samuel. He got to know the Lord by the word. Now let's go back to Psalms 25:14. Let's reread it. No, you can quote it. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And when we read the word fear, y'all wrong, it means, yes, fear, but it means morally reverent. Be reverent toward God morally. Morally means what? With your actions. The way that you and I truly reverence God, the way we truly fear God, the way we get into position to talk secrets and to see the covenant, to know it by see it, is that we've got to act on what God tells us. So many times we've got people who have been saved for years and years and years, yet they're plagued by the body, they're plagued by the mind, they're plagued by all the old things they used to do, the way that gets a hold of them, and they go through cycles of repetition like the children of Israel did in the book of Judges. And the only way those repetitions, those things will ever be stopped is you and I have got to be in a place where we've got to realize we'll never grow up unless we humble ourselves, be a babe, and come and learn and walk and work with Jesus. Don't tell me how much you love God if you don't do what He says. Because I'm sorry, something's wrong. Reverence. Reverence is obedience. And it's let's go to the book of Genesis. Keep your place marked in Psalms. And let's look at this. You know the story very well. Even Brother Baker brought it up the other night. But you could talk about this. You know it very well. But in the book of Genesis chapter 22, God tells Abraham, He said, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice. You know the story, amen? But drop down. I want you to look at something right here. Look at verse number 12. Genesis 22:12. Now this is the angel of the Lord talking. The angel of the Lord said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, unto Isaac. For now I know that thou fearest God. Now mark it down in your mind's eye. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. This is reverence. God said, get up and go. Don't matter how much you love something, if you don't give it back to God, you'll never keep it. You'll never keep it. But if you'll give it to God, then God will give it back to you with His blessing and His anointing, and it's yours forever. Now this is reverence. I want you to think about it. There's a lot of things in here that you like and I like. But if God has a different ideal, a different plan, if we're going to reverence God, we've got to get on board with God. Now, He waited 25 years for Isaac. Sometimes we wait a long time, you know, for the promises of God, and we don't understand. But when we give it to God, God's got something better. God adds to it. Multiplies it. God is a God that is, He can see what we can't see and understand what we can't understand. And He can make it all right. Amen? Now, let's look, talking about Abraham, let's go to the book of Hebrews. Let's look at a New Testament example. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 36. Because this is what he had to do. Hebrews 10:36. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now I want you to think about that verse in context with Abraham's life. All of Abraham's life was one hearing from God, and then whether he reverenced God and yielded to God or not. Amen?
Amen.
He had to leave Haran like God, and go to where the promised land was. Was he perfect in his obedience? No, because God told him, get away from your house. But he took his dad with him, and the first part of the journey, and then he took Lot with him still, and he had to, and that separation had to take place before he was able to walk around the promises of God and claim them. See, everything in your life and my life is about obedience. And see, he would have never come to the place where he held Isaac if he had not done what God told him to do in the first place. And tonight, you and I, or today, we're asking for a lot of things from God, and they're in the covenant, and they're yes and amen, but we don't qualify because we haven't done what God told us to do first.
Amen. That's right.
And so if we'll do what God tells us first, then this progressive revelation of the talking secrets, of the intimacy of God, the things that He has for you and I, will be manifested in our life. We don't have to live in lack. We don't have to be in a place where the devourer has an open door to steal from us if we'll come to the place of obedience. Look at Romans 11:8. Hebrews 11:8. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance. Look at that word. Underline it. Obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. See, we don't know what God's plan is a lot of times. Because why? It's progressive. You and I are walking by faith. He'll just reveal the next step. You take the step, I take the step, then He reveals the next one. So on and so forth. But that's reverence. The secret will only come to you. He'll only show you His covenant. He'll only show me His covenant when I reverence Him. And the way I reverence Him is by obeying the Word. See, there's a verse of Scripture. What is it? Is it Matthew 7:6? Jesus says, cast not your pearls before, meaning the unbeliever. Jesus ain't going to give you something that you're not qualified for. He's not going to give it to me. So I got to believe God. Well, the Bible says God has dealt to every person the measure of faith. So God sowed faith into us. The seed's there. So I'm not an unbeliever. You're not an unbeliever. We choose to believe what He gave us, and then He's going to add to that. Amen? And we're going to go. We're going to walk in this thing. Turn over to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Look at verse 28. Wherefore we, say that's me, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Now serve God. That's action. Serve God acceptably how? With reverence and godly fear. Now think about it. You and I, we've just been promised here a kingdom that cannot be moved. We're in Jesus. That means we're not going anywhere unless we choose to. The devil can't shake you off the rock. Amen? We've got a kingdom. And so, understanding that, the way that you come in the kingdom, the way I come in the kingdom, is somebody served God and we heard the message. We heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so now, with all reverence, with godly fear, we need to take and do the works of Jesus. Because He said, the very works that I do, you go forth and do. He said, the pupil is not above his master. The disciple is not above his Lord. No, you and I are to act in the way that Jesus did. And to do what He did. He said, what would it be worth to you if you gained the whole world, lost your soul? Priorities. The clock is ticking. When it's quiet there and I'm laying in bed, this clock, this watch, I can hear it, the seconds just sitting there ticking. And it's a revelation to me every time I hear that. Am I making the most of what God's gave me? Holy Spirit, you tell me. Devil, I'm not listening to condemnation. Holy Spirit, you tell me. Amen? Not one of us is going to be condemned because we don't listen to the devil. We're going to listen to God. Amen? But we're going to do what God has us to do. Now, He said that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So we're talking about intimacy comes and reverence comes because You hear something from God and then you act on it. Now, I don't want y'all to make the same mistakes I've made. I've missed out on so many promises of God and wasted so many tears and so much time praying, but believing God, but God couldn't do it in my life because I hadn't done what He told me to do. Amen? We can know all the Word in the world, but if we don't apply it right and we don't yield to it, it doesn't matter. See, the letter of the law killeth, but the spirit of the law, which is the revelations, the intimacy, it gives life. Amen? Amen. All right, real quick. Go back to Psalms 25:14. Let's read it again. He said, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, that reverence Him, and He will show them His covenant." Now, this word "show," once again, it's the same word that we talked about there in 1 Samuel. It means to know by seeing. In other words, you see, when you get in the place where you start seeing things by your mind's eye, by the Spirit in your spirit, then all these outside things, you see them that they can be changed by the Word. There's not no circumstance in your life, in my life, while our heart is beating, while blood is going through our body, that cannot be changed by the Word. Come on, in other words, if I'm not lined up with the Word, and there's all kinds of issues in my life, if I will line up with the Word, then my life will change. Amen?
Amen.
But I've got to see it. He wants to show it to me. He wants to show it to you. Now go back to the book of Genesis, this time chapter 6, and let's see the importance of progressive revelation. You know the story very well of Noah, but I want you to see it out of the Word. Lay your eyes on it together with me. Now, first of all, it says in Noah, we could quote it, Noah 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Never, praise God, we found grace this morning. We're saved by grace, amen, through our faith. But look what grace done to Noah. Grace saved him. Now, remember, we looked in the book of Romans, chapter 1, 16, 17, and 18. Verse 18 told us that if you wasn't moving forward in God, you'd be moving forward in the world, which would bring the judgment of God. Here Noah is. He's living his life, serving God, but judgment's fixing to fall. The world doesn't know it. Noah doesn't know it. But because Noah has intimacy with God, because the secret of the Lord is with them that reverence God. He reverenced God. He lived a godly life. He kept himself pure. He kept his household pure. And look what happens in verse 18. God talks to him and he says in verse 6:18, "But with thee I will establish my covenant. And thou shalt come unto the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." Judgment is fixing to fall upon this world. You can believe it or not. You can say I've heard it all my life or not. But judgment is fixing to fall. You can't do what mankind is doing today and the judgment of God not fall. So you and I, we've got to get into the ark. The ark of the last days is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Remember God told him to pitch the ark? That word "pitch" is a Hebrew word. It's the same word for atonement. It means to cover. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen? So the ark of the last days is Jesus Christ. But the way you get in the ark, the way I get in the ark, is not saying, "Lord, save me." It's confessing because you believed in the heart to the point that it moved you to action. You had a divine conversion. You changed your life, not in yourself, but by the Spirit of God. Once again, no condemnation, but just a pull by the Spirit to do better.
Amen.
Come on, every day.
Yes.
And to be changed.
Yes. Amen.
But Noah found grace and he found the realization of what was fixing to happen. God wants to warn you ahead of time of what's fixing to happen in this world.
Right.
He wants to get you in a place, in a position where it doesn't harm you. You're covered.
Amen.
Come on, go over to 9. Genesis 9:9. Look at this. Well, let me read verse 8. It said, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. See, it's not just about me. It's not just about you. It's about these little ones. We got a promise.
Amen.
Remember the Philippian jailer? I mean, they beat Paul and Silas to death. But all of a sudden, they saw obedience. They heard obedience. And they saw Jesus Christ in that prison cell. And next thing you hear, he's coming, he's running on his knees. He says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the next thing you know, he's washing their wounds. And he's baptized him and his what? His household. Action. We've got to stop fooling ourselves. And we want people saved so bad, but we can't water down the reality of what it means to be saved. Thank God for grace, but grace enables and powers allows you and I to live in this covenant. One last verse, Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 10. I want you to see something here. Next week we'll talk more about this covenant, Lord willing. But look at this, Hebrews 8 and 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel." And you say, "Well, see, he ain't talking to me." No, spiritual Israel. You and I, every believer, this the New Testament, he's talking about those, you are of Israel if you're spiritual. Amen? All right, not only that, the word Israel means founded on peace. Jesus is peace. We're founded on Jesus. If we're not, we're not saved. Okay? So, he's talking to us. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind." Now, mark this down. "And write them in their hearts." Oh, what a promise. See, I get along with God. You get along with God. He talks secrets with me. I do what He tells me to do. And He shows me the covenant. And the covenant is that He changes my mind. And He changes my spirit. See, so many times, I don't know about you, but I lived so many years of my Christian life where I let my mind hinder me, limit me, keeping me from being all that God called me to be.
Right.
How I felt here determined how I acted out here.
Right.
Determined whether I'd done what God wanted me to do or not. And the devil was sitting right here, talking to here, come on, bringing condemnation, bringing weakness to keep me in a cycle, a circle of defeat, where I wouldn't do what God told me to do. But here it's broke. Because God said in this covenant that I'm showing you, He said, I'm going to be the one that puts the Word in your mind. The Bible says, when my mind is renewed, Romans 12, 2, that I can do not just the acceptable, not just the good, but the perfect will of God.
Yes, amen.
And He said, I'm going to put it in your mind. I'm going to put it in your heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Oh, glory be to God. God disclaimed you. God disclaimed me. Now, when somebody owns something, they're responsible for it. And they take care of it. God's going to take care of you. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life. It doesn't matter how many lies the devil's telling, what kind of storm clouds he's bringing up. Let's see the answer. Let's get along with God. And let's don't concentrate. By the Spirit of God, listen to me this morning. Don't concentrate on what is hurting your flesh or your mind. It's an attack of the enemy to keep you from hearing what God wants to talk to you in your spirit about. And if you'll let God take care of what He's talking to you in your spirit, that thing in your mind and the thing in your body, all of a sudden, it'll be met. It'll be gone. It'll come under the covenant, the promises that are in Christ Jesus, yes and amen, and you won't even remember what the deal was. Oh, come on now. By the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit's talking to us. We've got to do something different now. Every one of us, we're in a place and a position where things haven't changed. We've prayed. We've stood on the Word. We've said some things. The Lord is telling us this morning how to do some things different where we'll have something different. We're not a fool. Come on, we know what the definition of a fool is. You keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. We're not a fool. We're going to do something different. We're going to start obeying the simplest word. And as you do that, revelation. Revelation. You're going to see the covenant. Amen? All right. I'll close with this thought. This is how serious this is. I want you to go with me to a third world country in Central America. It's been a very rainy season. A lot of storms and just a bad few months in this rainy season in this Central American country. And this lady, she's 9 months pregnant, and she's carrying with her a small baby. She's got another child that's about 3 years old. She's holding this child's hand, and they're walking. And as they're walking, before they get home, it's starting to get dark. And this child is pulling on her and trying to pull away from her and all of these things. And the next thing she knows, this child pulls away from her grasp and runs and falls down in the water. This is a stream there. But in her panic, she can't see the stream that well because it's getting dark. And she's screaming for somebody to come help her. And all of these things is going through her mind and being in the condition that she's in. And finally somebody down the road hears her screams, and they come and they help her, and they jump out in the water and they get the small child out, but it's too late. The child had been drowned. But when they stepped out in the water, the water was exactly waist deep. See, she could have, but she didn't know. Hosea 4:6, God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Mm-hmm. We need to know some things this morning. Amen? But you don't need to know what anybody else thinks. You don't need to know what you think. You need to know what God says is truth. So I encourage you. Whatever is bothering you, whatever is concerning you, see if God's got something else He wants to deal with that will take care of that problem. Because see, so many times before that stone is laid down, there got to be one put down first. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. We thank You for every person that's here. We thank You, Father, that Your Spirit is here to teach us and to lead us and to guide us. And we thank You that we have a promise that we can have intimacy with You. And if we'll reverence that very intimacy, that You'll show us things. There's many things that's going on in people's minds. The enemy's attacking people right now under the sound of my voice, bringing discouragement, stirring up old feelings and all sorts of situations and circumstances. Lord, but we ask that You speak to us and You bring us the truth and bring healing to our heart as You show us the covenant. Lord, right now You change our mind by putting the Word in our mind. You change our spirit. Let it be in a place and a position where it dominates us rather than our flesh or our mind. We ask You, Father, in the name of Jesus, would You come? Would You come and make Yourself an altar and just spend some time with the Lord and say, "Lord, here I am. I want to have this intimacy with You. I want to know what You would say to me right now. I want to know what You have spoke to me before that I have misplaced, that I have not yielded to, that has hindered, that has hurt, that has limited what You could do in and through my life." Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Father, we love You, we worship You in the name of Jesus, Father.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. See You as a precious jewel. Lord, turn You up by me a fool. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure.
We can avoid a lot of pitfalls in life by just stopping. You know, Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." If we can just stop and let God be God, He can help us make the right decisions. When otherwise, on our own, we might make a decision that would affect us the rest of our lives. But at the same time, we can't do nothing about yesterday. But we can do something about right now. Amen? And as Brother Dennis taught, even the things of yesterday, God can use them. Amen? And that's what we're going to let Him do. Does anybody need prayer for anything else before we change the order of the service? Be sure to come back tonight, each and every one of you. We're going to have a teen challenge here tonight. This is a wonderful outreach ministry, and so they need your support to be here. These ladies will be here, and they'll we're just going to take the service and just do whatever the Lord would have them to do. But this is a wonderful ministry. It's amazing the lives that have been touched and have been saved through this ministry. And so let's support it with everything we've got.